As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Standing Room Only podcast. Yes, I'm your host, Ben Standing, and I cover the Washington Commanders for The Athletic, which means I have been in Orlando, Florida for the last couple of days for the NFL League meetings, the rare time. Since I've been on the beat where the focus of these meetings had nothing to do with the Washington Commanders or whatever team they were called at the time in any negative light. But there is still a lot to get into with regard to the Commanders. It's been busy here because we've had a chance, as the local media and others, to speak with owner Josh Harris, head coach Dan Quinn, and general manager Adam Peters, to discuss what they had to say and more. My guy JP Finley from 106.7 The Fan joined me to go through all of that. In addition to that, clearly there's been a lot of talk about options for Washington with the number two pick at quarterback. Certainly some of that is just staying there and choosing among the likely quarterbacks. We're presuming Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, with Caleb Williams going first to the Bears. But what about a trade down? I still think that's something to look at, but of course, as we know, it takes two to tango, as they say. So I spoke with our Vikings reporter, Alec Lewis, about what he sees from their end and what possibly that could mean for a trade up, and also just to get a thought on the quarterbacks as well. Needless to say, there's been a lot of conversation about what could happen, and I'll get into some more of that in a second. So we've got another jammed episode here, and I will have plenty more here from the owners' meeting on the podcast. So make sure, of course, you subscribe wherever you do your podcasting, iTunes or otherwise. Hit that subscribe button. Definitely appreciate it. If you have a moment to drop a rating and a review, that would be swell. In addition, I have been writing as well, story up on what Adam Peters had to say and what I heard in that conversation up on The Athletic. And I believe we are still doing $1 a month promotion for a year through, I think, the end of the month. So if you have not done yet, click on one of my articles, including, I just did one also this week on the NFL draft. The Athletic let me do a first round mock draft. I did all 32 picks, including Washington's. I will get into some of that here in a moment. So just as I said, JP and I went through a lot of the different topics. We literally just got done with Harris about an hour ago at the point I'm talking to you right now. So we get into that. Again, you won't be surprised to hear this, but nobody gave us much of an indication of their plans at quarterback. And as I've been repeating myself here, or when I go on with Kevin Sheehan or making other radio interviews, I've been telling you guys that be careful when you hear somebody saying they have sources or they have talked to people who think these guys are leaning in one direction or another. Is it possible that Peters and Quinn are lying when they say they haven't made a decision? Anything is possible. But do I think that they're telling us the truth? Yes, I do. There is still a month to the draft. One thing Dan Quinn shared with us today was, hey, he's only just diving in to the tape. you know, he has been busy. He only got hired in January. They had to hire a staff. They had to go through their own roster. They had to look through free agents, not just their own, but the whole league. They had to come up with a plan, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, he's been busy. He's only getting into this now. They haven't even, tomorrow, meaning Wednesday, they're going to LSU's pro day. Then after that, they go to North Carolina's pro day. I presume this will be the first time. Well, I guess they met them all at the combine, but you know, the second time then they've had these conversations, and there will still be more when they bring these prospects, and not just quarterback, all the prospects that they're interested in, to Ashburn for a top 30 visit, meaning you have 30, you know, you can bring 30 guys in. It doesn't necessarily mean top like the 30 best players, but just like 30 players you're interested in learning more about. So they do have a ways to go, and like I said, I do believe that. So when it comes to, again, these reports, now JP and I discussed some of this, but there was a couple over the last 24 hours I think sort of made everybody's head hurt here. And one was an NFL Network, Tom Pelissero, you know, one of their national insiders, said that he talked to people who know Adam Peters, who work with Adam Peters, and their best guess or their view is that he would like J.J. McCarthy. He didn't report this. He didn't say this is what he's heard about the Commanders. He didn't say that these people know what the Commanders are doing. He just said, based on what they think, that that's who they would guess. And in the same reporting, I didn't see it, but others noted that another one of their reporters, Mike Garofolo, said he thinks Jaden Daniels is the more likely option. And this is just an example. These are guys who have access, you know, better than, you know, the majority, you know, than all but like a handful of people on the planet in terms of what is up to. And they're having conflicting reports. They don't know. I just want to keep emphasizing this, that, you know, whether it's a national reporter or somebody with a blog that who thinks, you know, that who pretends they have access and sources, nobody knows right now. Will we eventually? I hope so, as a reporter who's trying to find information out. But the answer to me would be no on that front. And that was a point that was emphasized by Peters, by Quinn. They don't know yet, so the idea that anybody else would know what they would do is nonsense. Of course, we know that there's, for the most part, there's only three options, right? Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. So if you plant your flag in one of them, you've got to guess essentially a, you know, 1 in 3 shot of getting it right, or we can adjust the odds depending on what you think of the ranking of the players. But I think that's, again, I'll stop preaching there, but something to keep in mind throughout. I think the other thing of note is, you know, and JP and I got into this, I'll stop saying JP and I, but like, you know, the idea of waiting on a quarterback in terms of playing that player. So much of it will come down to who it is that they get and maybe what else changes with the situation beforehand. But I think it is something to, you know, brace yourself if you're one of those people who thinks you're definitely seeing the rookie week one. Now, this is a place where I think they could be maybe not fibbing, but exaggerating a tad, because, you know, these prospects have different levels of experience. They may pick up the system, the plays some quicker than others, and this may be a game time decision, so to speak. I don't mean literally like week one. I just mean like they may have to wait and see how things go with OTAs, mini camps, training camps, etc., before making a decision. But, you know, I do think there's a world where the quarterback does not start week one. I personally would encourage that, but nonetheless, something to keep an eye on. Speaking of the quarterbacks, and I mentioned my mock draft that went up on The Athletic. Obviously, I would love for you to read it, take a look at it. If you haven't subscribed, certainly that'd be a great article. Click on that and subscribe through there. But just in terms of Washington, you know, I'll give away that part. By now, you hopefully have either read it or heard about it. I originally was looking to do a 3-team trade for Washington, in which the Commanders would end up in a position to still draft a quarterback, but they would get future picks. And I do think this is a particularly interesting option because this is not going to be a team that is contending this year unless you know, a lot goes their way. The young quarterback is C.J. Stroud. You know, they win all the close games, whatever it might be. But it's next offseason or beyond where I see them become the more aggressive team in terms of using first-round picks to either make trades for vets or move up the, you know, way up the board, what have you. And so I think acquiring extra picks for the future, more than just, say, for this season, I think makes a ton of sense. Now, all that said, when I got to the end, though, when I got to where I was with this process, I ultimately went with Jaden Daniels. And the reason was, when I spoke to people around the league, I made a point of talking to 10 people just over the last few days on this subject, ranging from former general managers to active assistant coaches, scouts, former players, etc. And, you know, people who were into this stuff, not just, you know, hey, what do you think? And there was more of a gap, I felt, between the Jaden Daniels backers and the other ones. Enough of a gap where it didn't feel like it was sort of a pick your poison, or I guess pick your poison is a negative, you know, what's your flavor, rather, you know, go and go down that route. And so that separation led me to say, you know what, I don't know what Washington's thinking, but if this is where the people around the league seem to be going, we'll put that on to Washington until we learn more information. So that's why I went with Jaden Daniels number two, but I also went with McCarthy number three, because I do buy some of the belief and hype on him right now. But we'll see. As I've stated before, Malik Willis, Will Levis, these are guys who, you know, were being projected to be high first round picks and ended up falling out of the first round altogether. It absolutely could happen. We will see in the coming days. Now, the other thing, though, is I did get Washington a second round pick. And that's because when I looked at the board, we know right now that the left tackle situation is probably one of the bigger questions they have, even though Adam Peters said they would be comfortable going with Cornelius Lucas and Trent Scott as needed. And you look, those guys are, you have them for this exact reason. If you need a fill-in-the-gap situation, you have that. But you have the opportunity to potentially get a long-term tackle, and with the quarterback, you do everything you can to help the quarterback. So I kind of think, you know, if they stayed it in the second round at 36 and 40, one of those picks I would put in pen for an offensive tackle. But when you look at the board, I think the concern I have is, where does the tier gap fall for them at that point, at 36? Meaning, it's one thing to say, hey, take a tackle, but, like, are you kind of reaching at that point? It feels like they might be. It feels like they could be in that position. Again, I don't know what their rankings are, but just using the public boards and talking to some evaluators as a guide, it feels like that there could be a drop-off sort of late in the first. So I have them trading up from 40, and also sending a third-round pick, I believe it was number 78, to Baltimore for number 30. The Ravens could absolutely stay put to take an offensive lineman, but instead I have Washington trading there and taking Oklahoma tackle Tyler Guyton. Certainly he could go 8 to 10 picks higher. I wouldn't doubt that. I think one of the tackles, there's going to be a big run on tackles. I think at least one of them falls into that range. Guyton happened to be the one this time. Maybe in time it'll be, I'll view it as another player, but that's the way I see it. Washington would still have, they'd give away one of those picks. They would still have five in the top 100, plenty of room to add more help. But I think when I'm starting to look at the board, I am a little nervous that there just may not be an offensive tackle in the range as some of these other guys that they can get. And since they have the 9 draft picks, assuming they don't make any other trades to acquire more, then you use some of that capital to not just only get a tackle, but bolster your quarterback that you're bringing in. So look, as I said, we've got a lot more to discuss. I want to play some audio from different press conferences and interviews throughout the week, including Peters and Quinn, Jim Harbaugh, and a bunch of others. But for now, we'll do this. We'll start with myself and JP Finley, because we did sort of the broad overview of what we've heard over these last couple days, and then we'll talk to Alec Lewis, our Vikings reporter, about how motivated he thinks Minnesota could be to trade up and where we're at with these quarterbacks. So let's do that here on the Standard Room Only podcast. All right, as promised, joining me here, I call him the king of all DC sports media. I'm going to call him now the king of the eye roll because he just did that to me as I said that. JP Finley with 106.7 The Fan and NBC 4 and notably BCC alumni fame.
Class of 99. Oh, 99.
We still have a couple hours before we all head to the airport, but we basically wrapped up here, having talked to all the principals now, Dan Quinn, Josh Pete.
Just combining people now?
Adam Peters.
You're sweating? Why are you sweating?
This is all, you know, talking to you. There's a lot going on here. That cabana picture you took of me is out floating on the internet. It's also a big day. And yes, we just talked to Josh Harris a few minutes ago. I thought we'd start there because, you know, we've talked a ton and ton about the quarterback stuff, and I don't know that we've necessarily cracked that nut after this, but nonetheless, we did that. Let's talk about Harris. You know, we don't get too many opportunities to talk to him, and it was a pretty small setting. We talked about a bunch of different topics, including the stadium. You asked Roger Goodell about that as well. I guess just if it's the stadium or anything else, what's that to you about talking to Harris?
I think every time we talk with him, it's like the rare combination of no nonsense, but pleasant, you know what I mean? Like polite, civil, mm-hmm. kind of funny. And like they're working on everything. I don't believe there's any like dawdling or, you know, like I know that they have hired people to get these things done. From like a business side of it, frankly, I don't know if you agree with me. The stadium I care about, and tangentially, like losing FedEx. I meant to ask him about that. We ran out of time, but like I care about that stuff. But we all cared and reported on and watched the business side of things because one, they were such a mess, and two, that was like a means to Dan's ouster.
Right.
But now I feel like it might take him some time, right? He hasn't owned the team a year. This is his first ever annual meeting. Like, it might take him some time to get everything in order. Like, I don't know if you saw they're, like, overhauling their sales, their sponsorship team, all that kind of stuff. But, like, I have complete faith in him to do the business stuff. And, you know, stadiums are funky, man. Who knows where they end up? It does become about land and revenue streams, and like I understand these are businesses, but like it sure seems like there's momentum around RFK. Now, will they get it done? Will the city do their part? You know, like sometimes I wonder. Remember when Wisconsin beat Kentucky when they were undefeated in the Final Four, mm-hmm. but then they forgot they still had to play Duke for the title? Like right. I feel like getting the RFK out of Congress and into city control is Wisconsin beating Kentucky. But, like, you still got to beat Duke. And I hope it'll happen. I mean, the city and stadiums aren't exactly doing great right now. But I have faith in Harris, the owner. And, I mean, from football, I have faith in Peters, the GM. Like, it's a very odd – I think they're going to be bad this year because it's a recalibration as we're being sold. But, like, I think there's real reason for optimism. And how many of these meetings we've been to? You couldn't have said that for a long, long fucking time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's the overriding sentiment of these meetings from the DC media perspective. It's the first one, certainly for me, and the first one in a while that wasn't involving the Washington franchise front and center for a variety of reasons. I do think the stadium thing is interesting on a lot of fronts. So I asked him about how much is he paying attention to the Wizards and cap situation. He said, obviously we are, and that could affect us. I still maintain that is a big deal. If this Virginia thing does fall apart, I wonder if DC has now, to save the day, ponied up more to Ted Leonsis than maybe they had originally thought, in the sense that they also were trying to get the Commanders. And if they get Leonsis back, do they have the money to then do all these other things? I almost feel kind of not. He did also say to us, Harris, that they're pretty deep with Maryland. Now, if we were reporting free agency and said the Commanders are pretty deep with free agent X, we'd think, oh, that means it's probably happening. Yeah. Now, that's not, I'm not saying that here, but he did use that word.
Yeah, deep discussions, right? Yeah, dude. I think, obviously, the Wiz Caps move will probably, like, you know, a lot of things could hinge on that. But I think it also impacts Virginia. Like, what if they want to build a new stadium in Loudoun? Like, is Youngkin going to be able to pull two rabbits out of a hat? And the woman senator from Norfolk, like, what's she going to say about that? Like, apparently that lady's the most important person in Virginia. I think he's largely telling the truth. Like, yeah, we got to watch that. We don't know what's going to happen. And with the stadium, like, yeah. And ask him about the practice facility. He's like, yeah, we're trying to do all this stuff. And some of it takes time. And the practice facility stuff is tricky because, like, do you really want to invest a lot of money there if you are going to move it or whatever? And because what we know about out in Ashburn, if they ever had to move, that's all getting torn down for a data center anyway. So, right. Like, you know, you got to balance those decisions. The stadium thing is fascinating. The other part, I think DA wrote this. Like, put everybody over at RFK. Build, like, where the Armory is, build a dope stadium for the Caps and the Wiz. And where the stadium is, build a dope stadium. And put bars and whatever all these revenue streams are, hotels, whatever you need, just put them in. That site is like 190 acres. And I don't think it's going to happen. I'm sure there's probably like EPA or it's DC, man. It's red tape. Who knows?
Right. For sure. Now, you mentioned that you thought that Harris was kind of telling the truth about paying attention to the Wizards site or the Wizards arena and all that. I think that's one of the things about listening to these three guys over the last 2 days. We all understand they're not going to tell us all their hopes and dreams. We asked in several ways, what's the thought at number two? And we didn't get too far other than to say that they haven't made a decision. Important note to all the people who think they know what they're going to do. But I do think that's something to be said for these guys. Like, obviously Dan Snyder didn't talk enough for us to even say whether he was saying something that was nonsense or not. But obviously his other statements were kind of nonsense. Bruce Allen with the whole, you know, the culture is damn good, right? I'm not getting that sense here. And like I said, even though, you know, Peters isn't saying much, what he has said so far has played out somewhat accurately in terms of the types of things we're looking for, whether it was the head coach or what they were looking to do in free agency. So I do think that degree, as we're all trying to figure out, read the tea leaves and figure these guys out, I do think they're all being fairly honest as far as these things go. Again, there's a difference between giving us information and not sending us down a wrong rabbit hole. And I think so far they've been respectful of that to us and I think to the fans as well.
I totally agree. You can disclose little but be honest. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's what they're doing. And like, I also think there's like a pretty clear hierarchy, which is healthy. Like, when we talk to Quinn, it's very clear that Adam's in charge. And I think that's the only way it could work for Adam being a first-time GM. And I think it's very clear that Josh goes to Adam, and then Adam goes to Dan. Like, and I just think all these things are just so healthy and functional. Yeah, dude, like, I wonder as the season goes on, it seems like Peters is never going to say anything. And he broke into the NFL with Belichick. Like, that, you know, John Lynch doesn't say anything. Like, I just think that's – I don't think we're going to ever get a lot from Peters. And I don't think we're, like, privately going to get a lot from Peters. I think he's a really nice fella, and we'll talk to you. But, like, any football stuff is just going to be kept to himself. And that's how a lot of good organizations do it. DQ seems to have more chattiness to him. Mm-hmm. But what also stands out to me – because obviously, like – the big removal here is Dan, right? And Dan just ruined everything he touched. But Ron's last 4 years weren't so great, and Ron had a major habit of saying dumb stuff, like speaking too much or being too honest, whatever it was. And, I mean, maybe we'll see if that comes from DQ, but that sure doesn't look like it's coming in from Peters. And I don't really think it'll come from Dan, from Quinn either. So that's another step forward, because like we talk about the optimism in the professionalism, right? Like in Harris and Peters and just like competency. Ron unfortunately, and he's a class act and was a good coach in Carolina, arguably. But, like, Ron in Washington wasn't. And it kind of was, like, at times bumbling and at times incompetent. So, like, it feels pretty damn different.
I was both coughing and laughing there when you just said that about Ron.
I'm not trying to take shots at Ron, but that's part of why this feels different, too.
And look, I've said before that, like, you know, part of this is not just for me and soon for you, too. It's not just what moves are they going to make. It's trying to figure them out. And, you know, part of the game that we're all playing is just like we do with any person in life. How do I interpret what it is that you are telling me? What do I make of that, good, bad, indifferent, what have you? And that's what we're trying to do with these guys. And, you know, Ron was a different type of book to read. We read that one, and now we're on to this one, and we're trying to figure it out. And there's some similarities, like you said, to Quinn, and the other parts, you know, will remain to be seen. In terms of the football stuff, obviously the number 2 pick was, you know, the one topic, which, again, such a nice thing to go from terrible owner to number 2 pick.
How impressed I am at your ability to concentrate despite the 2 other dudes in this room that are just screaming. You know, I'm not going to name names, but it's 2 other, at least 1 other prominent NFL reporter that appears just to be screaming.
He's talking to himself at a pretty good clip, pretty loud clip.
I feel like we're like trying to be relatively quiet.
We are. We're professionals that way. All right. So with the number 2 pick stuff. So since we've been here again, they have not given us any indication that they have made a pick. Dan Quinn told us today he's only just getting into it. Like, he's obviously aware of these guys, but he's only just getting into tape now. He's been busy with free agency and learning his own roster, and which is completely understandable. Adam is way ahead, as are the scouts, but you think the head coach is going to weigh in. So he's like, look, if somebody knows what we're doing, tell us, because we haven't gotten there yet. So that said, there's been some, you know, fun rumors, as there always are. Is Jaden Daniels now more of the clear option at number 2? I don't think he wasn't reporting this, but Tom Pelissero on NFL Network said he talked to people who know Adam Peters, and that their guess, essentially, of what Peters would do would be J.J. McCarthy. There's still people out there for Drake May. I'm one of those people who thinks a trade down could be interesting, depending on what they look at. Of all the rumors and whatever else you've heard, does anything kind of stand out to you as this is at least interesting enough, let alone potentially something, you know, to really hone in on?
So before that Pelissero tweet set Commander's Twitter on fire, and I think it was probably, maybe not misinterpreted, but like overinterpreted. I said to Kerwin that morning, though, Chris Kerwin's my producer, photog extraordinaire for NBC4. And
extraordinaire is a good word.
Yeah, I mean, that dude does everything. He's incredible. But I said to him, I was like, dude, the more I think, and it was after Jim Harbaugh talked about J.J. McCarthy's pro day, mm-hmm. which you and I are both standing there, right? Yeah. And now Harbaugh might be a little nuts and was so effusive in his praise that it almost seems like false. But I did say, I did have the thought, like, you know, if you think about what Peters said about what he wanted in a head coach, like a winner, a leader, leader of men type, I was like, man, maybe I could see J.J. McCarthy kind of fitting that bill, because I think the leadership stuff's real and he's coming off a national title. You know what I mean? Like, all that adds up. And then that report comes out and I could see it. But, like, J.J. McCarthy might be their kind of guy if they had the 8th pick or something. But, like, at 2, you probably have access to prospects that are different. And I just I don't know that anybody knows. I don't think nobody knows who will be good and who will be bad and who will be in between or whatever else.
Right.
I lean Jaden, both in what my preference would be and what I think they're going to do, but it's hardly a firm stance. It did seem like there was more momentum around Drake May going into the combine that has maybe waned a bit, and certainly the momentum is rising with McCarthy.
I thought the momentum is real.
It is. Clearly. We're in a giant room with a dude screaming.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a month out, I bet if we looked at this historically is when things start getting wacky.
Well, dude, what I keep going back to, when the Niners make the trade to go to number three, everybody's like, all right, it's Trey Lance, because you knew it was going to be Lawrence and then Zach Wilson.
No, everybody thought it was going to be, all right, go ahead.
So it was Lance. Then it became Mac Jones for 3 weeks.
Right.
Then it became Lance again. Like, we could be in our Mac Jones era right now.
100%. And like I said, I do believe, obviously, Peter surely has watched enough tape to go, you know, let me go back and watch that. I don't want to say a player, but that guy again, because I kind of just enjoyed watching it. I want to look at more. That doesn't mean he's made the final decision, but I'm sure he has some leaning one way or the other.
And he had the good line about why I have to go through my process is to make sure I don't fall in love with somebody and I don't suffer from recency bias. I also think it's entirely possible. The last 2 days we've been here, if somebody talked to him or someone close to him and he's like, man, he really liked J.J. McCarthy. Well, he also just saw him. That's the last dude they watched.
Right.
So, like, if you had a good impression, that's going to be top of mind. But they're going to go see Jaden. They're going to go see Drake. Like, I think he, like, in no way am I doubting the reporting. Like, somebody said they like him. But that doesn't necessarily make him be the pick.
Right, right. 100%. All right, let's up in the last couple seconds we have here before we get yelled out of the room. With regards to anything else that kind of happened, we obviously asked a lot of different questions about how they put together the roster and free agency, kind of what was the plan. We asked about certain players, whether it was Frankie Louvu or Jeremy Chinn, Tyler Biadasz, whatever it may be. For any of that stuff, did you find any of that particularly illuminating in terms of, you know, why they went a certain way or how they see a certain player fit in?
I think we're all pretty excited about Louvu. I think they are too. You know, guys that really watch football that you talk to here, there's a lot of belief around, you know, he's just on the upswing of his career. I kind of thought the Mariota and Howell answers were interesting from both Peters and Quinn. I don't know that I believe some of the answers. Like, if you roll into the season with Mariota, are you actually cool with that? I'm not sure.
Well, they both talked about being willing to be patient with a rookie, so that they don't say it has to start. Now, that's obviously what you would say, and I think this to me is going to be a massive topic once they make the pick and we know who it is, because there's a big gap between Jaden Daniels played over 50 starts versus J.J. McCarthy and Drake May were under 30.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, if in fact they're going to go with the vet, you know, whatever Sam Howell was, it would have been, I think, more fun. Not saying better, but more fun to watch him versus whatever Mariota might be.
I kind of think Sam's better than Mariota. And then in turn, in the straight, like, constant competition world of pro football, why just trade him away? You know, like, for the other guy. Like, it's just – that's why I think this recalibration is a multi-year thing. Like, I think they're going to be bad.
It is funny. I think I asked about Forbes today with Quinn, and he said that, like, he mentioned the idea of competition being important for everybody. But then, like you said, the one spot where it had been intense competition from an attention standpoint, they traded away the guy. Which, of course, we all know if they're going to draft a quarterback at two, that guy is playing at some point, sooner than later. But and maybe just avoid the confusion and all that. But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. I thought the conversation around Wagner, he hit all the right tones. Like, hey, man, this guy could still play, but we also really like everything else he's going to bring. I thought that was real. I thought we're cool if Cornelius Lucas or Trent Scott starts for us at left tackle. I thought that was fake. Like, I don't think.
Certainly, I mean, like, note, like, at Peters brought up Trent Scott, and then he also at quarterback brought up Jake Fromm as, like, if we were, you know, we've got some options. And, you know, you're week 10 and your injuries are piled up. Those are your options, but that's very different than saying, hey, what's our actual plan?
Well, dude, you remember Jay, like, you'd ask him a question about McLaurin, and he'd just read off the roster of everybody in the receiver room. Like, all of a sudden, he's talking about Dax Milne, like, or Trey Quinn or whoever.
Right.
Casanova McKenzie.
What a name. That's a great name. You would have a better feel than me probably at this point in terms of the fan base and Cam Curl. I personally have moved on for some point, but, you know, this was the first opportunity we had to sort of try to ask what happened there. And we didn't really get too – at least I didn't get a sense we got too far. It was more like, hey, we like Jeremy.
Quinn today talked about how he sees Shin playing close to the line of scrimmage, covering tight ends, being, you know, one of those guys they're going to have aggressive moving towards the line. All he said about Cam Curl was basically, hey, good player, we wish him well, that type of thing. I think to me, like, the biggest thing with this is people get so worked up that this
syndrome.
Well, even independent of what people think he is good or not, but the idea that he was a homegrown guy, that's the kind of guy you keep.
Seventh rounder.
Right. Except for the fact that he is, that is beyond irrelevant to everybody who's coming in here. To them, Cam Curl is a free agent, just the same way that Jeremy Chin was, the way any of these guys are. I mean, yes, of course, there's some connection there. That's why you bring back a Lucas and a Jeremy Reeves, but it's not a thing now. But anyway, what's your sense of that? Do people, does this need to be more discussion?
I think it was Peters who gave us a good answer on that. He's like, dude, this wasn't about finding guys from where we used to be or not taking anybody from here. It was about just finding the best players going forward. And I believe him on that. The Cam Curl thing, I think, is a really good example of Ashburn syndrome, where people just kind of talk themselves into what is here and how much they like it and root for it. I think Cam is a pretty good player. I think this has been my baseline all along when people got upset at who got fired or who got traded or whatever. They were 4-13 and didn't have a single Pro Bowler. Like, nobody is dictating that they return.
100%.
4-13, no Pro Bowlers. Cam can play, but they think Chin fits their system better. And people are so weird. I wouldn't say I've gotten to know. I think I've kind of gotten to become like internet friends with Cam Curl's dad, who is a wild card on Twitter.
Very much.
But I kind of think it's funny. He had a tweet, and I replied, like, hey, man, wishing you and Cam well in L.A. He was always such a – he really was insightful when you talked to him in the locker room and, you know, good luck. And people were like, what a dork you are, like, to me. Like, oh, okay, so because I've actually interacted with these humans and am just saying good luck on the next stop, I'm the dork.
Right.
Like, it's just crazy how fandom can influence, like, sanity.
I mean, you know, the whole fan, the short for fanatic, is the absolute
and not all,
truth.
Not all, and I think everything gets amplified and magnified on especially X.
Sure. I mean, even people who are, you know, we would view as like relatively sane, analytic people, you know, at some point the emotion kicks in. You care about this thing. It isn't just hypothetical. This is real, that this is actually happening, and you get frustrated sometimes when you put in, you know, your time, your effort, your thoughts, your emotions, whatever it is, into a product, a person, and then it doesn't work out. Always works out having JP on the podcast, of course.
I have a question. The promised appearance when we started.
Yes.
When you asked me to do this, like, right before we started. When was this promised?
So I'm going to have an intro.
Oh.
And on the intro, I'm going to say, here's who's coming on the podcast. Okay. I'm going to highlight you front and center. So there you go.
I'd highlight somebody else. Get 48. He'll be on time.
I have our Vikings guy on. He to talk about them possibly trading up. You know.
I met that dude last night.
Alec Lewis.
Younger guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Very nice. He's on top of his game. We have good writers in our app.
Subscriber.
It took a minute to get you on board, but I'm glad we worked it all out. 106.7 The Fan, 10-2, NBC4, every day, more or less?
Often. But, dude, if someone's listening this deep into you and I talking, they know where to get both of our contents.
I kind of do say that, but, you know, it's...
I appreciate it. You're very professional.
Yeah, I try. And, of course, the Beltway podcast, Beltway Football Podcast.
That's right.
With offensive line guru Mitch Tischler. Appreciate it, man. Go get some rest. Go see the fam, and we'll talk soon.
Cool, buddy.
All right, you run into all kinds of people here at the NFL owners meeting. For example, my Vikings colleague at The Athletic, Alec Lewis. You know, fortunately, I was able to peel him away from the paparazzi for a few minutes. Because you guys are the sort of the team of the hour. Because if there's going to be a trade up in this draft, everybody thinks it's going to be the Vikings. So first off, thanks for doing this, and second of all, what's the deal? You guys making a trade, or what do you think?
Yeah, good to see you, Ben. This is last year. There were two Vikings writers, and the table sitting around Kevin O'Connell was like empty. And we was like, what do we ask? Do we ask about the tight end, Josh Oliver? What do we ask about? And you're exactly right. With where the Vikings sit and what they need, given Kirk Cousins has now left, it's a pretty fascinating situation. What they end up doing, obviously, is remains a major question mark. I mean, you had Gerard Mayo, the Pats coach, talking earlier about their potential willingness of being willing to of listening and depending on the offer, maybe trading back out of that spot. That number three spot is really, and number two, frankly, in which you know far better than I do. Like, that's where I'd start with this. I don't fully know what the team thinks of J.J. McCarthy at this point, and so I've focused mostly on Drake May and Jaden Daniels, and I think if they left this draft with either one of those guys, they would be very happy. So pretty interested to see how this thing proceeds from here.
So let's play this out, because I'm a big believer in at least strongly consider trading out from two, simply because Washington has a ton of needs. And look, if you're not in love with the quarterback, don't force it just because the fans are going to want it, or you know you have to get one eventually. So the question, though, is what would it take? What would be enticing enough to not take the risk? So where are you at right now? I mean, two and three, kind of the same. And the difference is that, like, at two and three, you're telling Washington and New England if they want a quarterback, they'll have to figure out something else. We're at four at Arizona. They don't want one. So for them, that's not as big of a deal. So for you, at two and three, what do you think is the fair offer? And what do you think is like, oh, screw it, we're going to have to go we have to go all-in offer?
No, I mean, I think it starts with three first-rounders. I mean, I really do. And the Vikings obviously acquired Houston's first-rounder at 23 a couple weeks ago. So they have 11, they have 23, and they could obviously ultimately part with another future first. I think that's where the offer has to start, just if you look at the historical comps of this thing. And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, the Vikings GM, spent a lot of time in that San Francisco building. Like, he knows what they gave up for Trey Lance. He knows the result of that. He is an analytical guy who arrived at this spot via Wall Street. He talks about probability and odds and being binary. I mean, this is the world that he lives in. So you can guarantee he knows what it's going to take. He knows what the odds are going to be. And he might be willing, entering his third year, to kind of risk what he needs to risk to potentially reap the reward. So I mean, that's where I start. We talked about this as we were joking around for our mock draft trade. I mean, it might take more than that. It might take another future second, future third. I mean, to do that and get to that level, it's going to take a heck of a lot. But I wouldn't put it past the guy who literally made his way to this point through trading on Wall Street, trading some interesting assets.
You develop some guts doing stuff like that when you're talking about a lot of money. I think the thing that people don't always factor in, and myself included, is, like, for example, with Washington, like, this is a first-year staff. If they somehow didn't take a quarterback for whatever the reason, okay, they still have time.
Runway.
But if you're already into your second year, or certainly your third year, and you don't know what your quarterback is, what do you do? And even if you draft the rookie, it's still probably 2 years before you know. So that clock is ticking, and, you know, obviously Cousins just left, so it's not like it's been a huge topic. But at the same time, you know, obviously the Vikings haven't reached their goals the last couple of years. So what do you do? And Jefferson's sitting there, like, you don't want to waste those years. So how long do you wait, even if it's expensive, to get a quarterback?
Well, I think, like, it's funny because I've only covered this league now two seasons, but I've asked a lot of people, like, how much like, people who have been in these roles, how much does your timeline as a general manager matter in decisions you make? And, like, I think obviously all GMs and head coaches would like to say that they act objectively and rationally at all points, but it's just not the case. Like, given your timeline, you're going to operate differently. And they are in a situation, to your exact point, where you have a guy in Justin Jefferson who was offered an extension last offseason, a heck of a lot of money, and ultimately he turned it down. And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said at the combine, we have to earn the trust of this guy. Like, we have to be willing to operate in a way that establishes trust with the guy who's going to get paid by someone, and they'd prefer it to be them. So, I mean, you factor all of that in, and you find yourself at a place where you can probably rationalize the Vikings making a decision that could transform the future of the franchise if they get it right. But the reality is, the odds of getting it right are not the greatest. So really going to be interesting to see what they do. And I think it's why it's such a fascinating situation.
And plus, like, it's assuming, like, that the quarterback you draft is ready to go. I know everybody's looking at CJ Stroud. That is the rare. That's the odd one. That's not the norm. And like, you know, if it's say like a J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, both have less than 30 starts in college, not a lot of experience. Are you really going to throw them in? But on the other hand, if you're going to make the move, whether it's just Washington at two spending the pick or you guys trading up, what do you, you know, are you going to keep the investment on the bench? That people don't like that either.
The other thing, and you know Kevin O'Connell just from his time there, but Kevin has really strong beliefs about developing quarterbacks. And I think a lot of those beliefs hinge on having a guy be able to learn the playbook, feel confident, feel comfortable, and not just thrust him into the fire. And so, I mean, that's why you pay a guy like Sam Darnold as much as they ended up paying him, is to be able to build a room that allows that quarterback to develop. But ultimately, again, things happen, times change, timelines change. It's a very fluid situation. So, you're exactly right. Like a Jaden Daniels is a guy who looks pretty polished on film, but I mean, you ask questions. If you thrust him into Kevin O'Connell's offense, which has a lot of pre-snap reliability, where does that leave him? And then was what he showed on film last year the polish, just the last year thing, or can he do that in the future? There are a lot of so many questions, and so the Vikings have a pretty complex decision on their hands, and I do think. I go back to Kevin O'Connell. They've been very strategic in terms of how they want to scout this class, how they prioritize some of their meetings with them on the road. Like I think they're going through it very methodically. And Kevin, who is a quarterback guy himself, having played, I mean, people don't realize, but like when he got out of playing, one of the first things he did was train quarterbacks in the private sector who were going through the draft process. So in these interviews at the combine, he used to prep guys to go in there and excel in those interviews. And I think that's where the Vikings hope they have a leg up in this process because of the experience of a guy like Kevin in the process.
If there's a team that's associated with Drake May the most, it feels like it's the Vikings. Now, the deal basically is that Josh McCown, who's their quarterback coach, coached Drake May in high school. He's only the quarterback coach. He's not one of the primary decision makers. So is this being overstated, or do you think that there really is, as best you can piece things together, a real ties for this group to this quarterback?
Oh, there's definitely ties. I mean, Josh McCown, to your point, he's a first-year quarterbacks coach in Minnesota, and it's not like he's going to step in and have the juice to tell Kwesi Adofo-Mensah to go trade up and draft Drake May. But from what I know, the Vikings have scouted and been interested in Drake May for multiple years. It predates Josh McCown. I mean, it was funny. I wrote a story this past week about Josh McCown and Drake May's relationship, and I was just curious because I'd seen Twitter pictures of him on the sideline with Drake May. He coached him in high school, but it sounds like they were really close, and Josh provided a lot of feedback. There was an interesting nugget where in 2018, Josh was in the quarterback room in New York with Sam Darnold, and they used to watch Drake May's film together. So just that, I mean, you start to put the pieces together and it makes a lot of sense. But ultimately, to your point, I mean, there's going to be other teams that really like Drake May, and I think he's one of the guys who you would probably need a runway of development. People talk about his footwork and kind of decision-making stuff. I mean, there's probably some work that would have to be done, but I don't really think it's overblown. The challenge to me is, like, can they get the guy? And I don't know if that's possible. People love his leadership ability. He's just very real. He's very raw. I could totally – I've said this before on Minnesota radio, but, like, I could totally see the Vikings O-line, veteran O-line, just, like, loving this guy, surrounding him. So that fit to me would be pretty perfect. And really, I mean, the Vikings are very – I give them credit because they have built their offense and their skill group in a way to be able to maximize this young quarterback no matter who it is. And so I think that's why whichever quarterback does land in Minnesota, if one does – they've got to be pretty pumped in terms of the circumstances that they're stepping in. And they've been intentional about the way they've kind of set this thing up to arrive at that type of point. And right. It helps to have a guy like Justin Jefferson.
All right, last question. So a month out, what's your ultimate prediction? They could obviously trade up. Who would they want to trade up to? They could stay, I think, at 11 and 23, and then at 20, one of those picks take, you know, Bo Nix or Michael Penix. But okay, what's your best guess? If you had to say right now, what do you think they ultimately end up doing? And what if they trade up? Who is it? You calling me, or you calling our Patriots guy Chad Graff? You calling our Arizona guy Doug Haller? What do you think?
My gut right now, and it is just that, and it's purely speculation, but I really believe that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is going to be willing to risk what he has to risk. I mean, Brandon Bean made the comment at the combine, like, when we traded up for Josh Allen, people were crushing us for what we gave up, and ultimately it didn't matter because if we miss, I wasn't going to be here, and if we hit, no one's going to care. And to me, that ethos is probably in the mind of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah right now. And I would not be shocked if they were calling your team. Adam Peters and Kwesi know each other well from their days in San Francisco. Kevin O'Connell knows Adam Peters really well. So that's what I'd say. It's going to take the sun, moon, and the stars. An AFC guy executive said to me a couple of weeks ago, like, King's ransom, and so that to me is multiple first round picks and maybe even more. So it would take a hell of a lot, but I just think at this point, with where they're at, having lost Kirk Cousins and with the skill group they had and needing to establish trust in Justin Jefferson, that's just where my mind is right now. And I could have a conversation an hour that changes that, but that's what I'll say.
Fair enough. Go read Alex's stuff. Go read his story about Drake May and Josh McCown. It was a good read for sure. My guy, I appreciate it. Enjoy sunny Florida. The guy from Minnesota needs Florida, so I'm glad you were able to make it.
Literally a blizzard as I left. It was like, can we make it? I'm not kidding. It was like, can we make it out? The plane is de-icing. It's coming down. I mean, that's Minnesota is – I'm an Alabama guy, so this is much more of what I'm used to. But, yeah, no, thanks for having me, Ben. It'll be – the next month is going to be quite interesting. I know that.
No doubt. Thanks, man. All right. Big thanks to JP and for Alec Lewis for their time. Thanks to everyone here for checking out the podcast and being patient as I've been working through all these days here to help get you guys the best information that I can. So I appreciate the patience on that. But that is it for now. Ben Standick signing off. Until next time, see ya.
Fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.